more representation for Foxconn workers.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The company that makes the iPhone, iPad, Kindle, and a host of other electronics is beefing up its union. Foxconn has been under pressure to improve worker pay and conditions and announced this week that it is enhancing its labor union. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
In the past, Foxconn's workers' union didn't represent workers. It was controlled by upper management. Now, because of pressure from Apple, Foxconn's workers will vote for better representation. Li Shihong assembles iPads at one of Foxconn's largest factories in Shenzhen.
They're requiring us to take control of the union, which is great. But how much of a voice will we really have once we've done that?
Arit Van Heerden heads the Fair Labor Association, whose audit of Foxconn is directing these changes. Van Heerden wonders if workers will even bother to vote.
Workers might see it as an inconvenience, you know. What we've got to get clear is, why should I bother to vote? What could they do for me? And would it all be worth it?
Van Heerden says it's possible one of the first demands of the new union will be to work more overtime hours. Apple has reduced hours for its Chinese suppliers, an unpopular move with many Foxconn workers. From Shenzhen, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
We'll get a look at quarterly earnings today for Take-Two Interactive, which makes Grand Theft Auto and other video games. As Sally Herships reports, it's one of the key players in an industry that is having a hard time right now.
Why are video game sales down? Two words. Ho-hum. Mike Hickey is a senior equity analyst with National Alliance Securities.
We're not blown away by the current game experience. A lot of the games come out just iterations of prior ones.
Because, says Hickey, our consoles are maxed out technologically. It's been 7 to 8 years since the last new gaming consoles were released, and video game fatigue has set in.
This is the longest cycle we have ever had in the video game space, which is all the more reason why we're seeing declining sales.
Arvind Bhatia is a managing director at Stern AG. He says more games bought and played on smartphones, tablets, and ordinary computers are also eating into the traditional video game sales. Zynga, the producer of the virally popular game Farmville, also reports earnings today. But analysts expect it to lose money due to all the new competition. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down almost 2% in Tokyo, but up 1% right now in Paris. No new records on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow slipped 129 points to close at 13,880.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Few people know more about running a university than Mark Udoff. He ran the University of Minnesota, the University of Texas, and since 2008, he's been the president of the University of California. But he is stepping down in August, and he joins us now from Los Angeles for an exit interview. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as you leave your post, do you think that public universities like the University of California have figured out how to survive in the age of tight state budgets?
I think they're feeling their way, but I don't think they've figured it out yet. I think in the case of the University of California, in a few years, probably four, five, six courses will be taken online on your way to an undergraduate degree. Hmm. We'll make more use of e-learning. So it's a progression. But you know what I like to say is we're like a shoot of bamboo. We need to bend, but we don't want to break. We've been around almost 150 years. I don't want to give up the research. I don't want to give up the access. I don't want to give up the medical care. But we obviously have to change.
Well, then how do you do it? I mean, how do you do it without raising the price too much that people can't afford to go there anymore?
Well, it's a struggle. I would say you do more research and you get more indirect cost recovery. You try to keep tuition down as best you can, although we've raised it a lot. It's hard when the state disinvested, took out $1 billion. I think you do rely more on e-learning, but the problem is that the turnaround will not be in a year. I mean, it's going to take 3 to 5 years in many of these institutions, and I'm worried about the interim.
Do you think that online learning and that this trend toward more online courses, these MOOCs as they're called, is as good as the education you get in the classroom?
I think it can be. You don't want a camera in the back of the classroom with Professor Snodgrass droning on in his traditional lecture. You want Pixar or someone like that to really fix it up. As for the MOOCs, I think we're at the ground level on this. I mean, if you give me $20 million and I can offer a course for free and I have no degrees, no certificates, no assessments, and most of the students drop out before they complete it, I don't consider that a triumph for higher education. It's good that it's available and it's open, but we have to have a business model that works for real people and is self-sustaining.
What do you want your legacy to be at the University of California?
I guess the primary one was during a very difficult time. I helped hold the place together. I think there was a danger, given the furloughs and the pension crisis and other things, that we could have had a mass exodus of faculty and lost a lot of ground. That didn't happen. That, I hope, was my contribution along with my team.
And do you think that that can last in the long term, or did you just get through this one crisis?
Well, I kept every day I went to work thinking, how can we build this for the future? And I think with an uptick in state support, and I think with a really active program to explore these alternatives, e-learning and the like, I think it can last. You can't take my job and be a pessimist, and I remain the optimist.
Mark Udoff, president of the University of California, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
And finally, if you want to run an igloo hotel in Alaska, there is one available. It has been described as an architectural monstrosity, a towering blob, and a proverbial sore thumb. But according to the Alaska Dispatch, any offers will be considered as long as you're willing to renovate it into a working hotel. Finding customers 180 miles from Anchorage, that is your problem. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.